I can bring home the bacon, fried up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Word of Mom Radio Network. This is Tracy Timmons, and today we are going to share with you Renee Rebar. She has been a sales professional since 1994 in New York. She has sold millions of dollars in products and services and trained thousands to sell for the first time. She is a TEDx speaker who offers training sessions at global conferences, boardrooms, and most recently through virtual programs. She skillfully breaks down her decades of sales expertise with a flair that makes listening to her a joy, and if you take action, extremely profitable. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for that lovely introduction, Tracy.
Well, it's just lovely to have you here, and it sounds like you have some really great information that a lot of our mompreneurs can value from learning. So we're really excited to have you here today.
Honored to be here.
Well, you know, I want to start out because being here on the Word of Mom Radio Network and sharing the wisdom of women, and one of the issues I think why, you know, this is absolutely changing, and you're a perfect example of that, but there are still not as many successful women in sales, and I think one of the reasons is that it is so hard for women to ask for help.
Yeah.
What have you learned about that?
Yeah, I think having been in sales when, you know, truly, I was the only woman in the office initially.
I bet,
and then
yeah.
What I became known for in my sector is having a killer female sales team, because I just knew that women sell differently. We speak differently. We are different genetically. I mean, look at us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put us under an MRI machine and our brains light up when we talk about community and nurturing and caring, whereas if you talk about conflict or show us pictures of war, like our brains just shut down.
Right.
Opposite with men. Not that they're not loving and fantastic, because they are, but when it comes to selling, where that specifically means is not only do we feel we like to give help, but we hate to ask for help, and we hate to confront people to make them choose. We like to give them lots of choices and nurture them through the process, which in true form is the best way to sell.
Right, right.
And that is where the success has come from my career, is really nurturing women through that process, using their own God-given talents to do what's best for them and the people around them.
Well, and I think what's wonderful for what I'm seeing in the world is that, you know, I can remember and, you know, based on how long you've been doing this professionally, you know, you and I are probably at least close to the same age and not as young as some of our listeners, but, you know, that, you know, back in the day, I hated to be sold to. And I still to this day hate it when it is the way that it used to be. But I think now that more women have come into the force, I think even some of the men have recognized that some of those aggressive tactics just aren't the best way to go about things anymore, you know. I'm actually really taken aback. You know, I used to just kind of accept the fact when I came across a man who still sells that way. You know, I used to just think that's the way it is, and now I'm really taken aback because I'm like, don't they realize by now that this doesn't work? Like, this is just not the way to do this, you know?
Oh, my gosh, I know. It's not the way, exactly. If it worked, there might be some validity to it, but it's brutal. And it doesn't when someone sells through manipulation and persuasion, what they're doing is they're creating a transaction. And even if the person says yes, because you can, you know, trick them into saying yes, say the wrong, make them shame them into saying yes. It's horrible. You will have a bad customer, someone who's not happy, and B, you won't have a lifelong customer. And in the world that we live in, don't we want long-term sustainable businesses and lives?
Well, absolutely. You want relationships. And what's really amazing is that, you know, I'm definitely guilty of being one of those women who sort of, in a lot of ways, you know, followed instructions, was a good girl, did things the way people told me, tried to do them, quote unquote, the right way. But there were certain things, although I used to consider it, and I still don't consider myself a salesperson because I don't necessarily like to, quote unquote, go out and get sales. But when I'm in a position to do so, I'm actually really good at it, because even way back, I did some retail jobs like in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Mm.
And I remember I worked for a while in a plus-size women's store. And people were there trying on clothes, whatever, and not asking me for help. You know, I left them alone. But one time a woman asked me, did something look good on her? And the truth was, it really, really didn't. So, of course, I told her. And I made some suggestions about what she should try instead. And my manager was like, why would you do that? And I'm like, how can I not do that? I'm supposed to let her buy that and walk out and then have all her friends tell her how horrible she looks and then she never wants to come here again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I used to have customers that literally, they'd call me to tell me they were coming and I'd put a bunch of clothes on the rack for them and they just pick the colors and buy them and not even try them on because they trusted me to know what they needed to buy. And by the way, I hated that job, but I at least got that it was about being truthful and getting people to trust you. Yeah.
Yes. And to truly develop that long-term relationship, because the way I teach women, the way that that we naturally communicate, and that's really all sales is communicating and deep listening and then offering the next step, they feel so much better so that no matter when they, like, let's say they were on a sales call with someone, because when we're talking about mompreneurs, you know, we are usually in a smaller account. We're running a smaller business. We're selling for ourselves.
Right.
And so even though we're not salespeople, we're not trying to become salespeople, we have to, in essence, sell for our business to have a business, whether it's sponsorships or whether it's consulting or offers, whatever they may be. But the real thing is I want to know that I could see someone at the grocery store and be, and no matter what stage of the sale they're at, if it's pre, you know, during or after, I would be able to be like, hi, how are you, with a good conscience, right? That they would be excited to see me as I would be to see them, even though we work in the global economy and chances are I won't see them at the grocery store because they live in another country.
Exactly. But if you did, you'd want to feel good. Right. And it's amazing sometimes how you do end up, you know, connecting with people eventually in person, you know, when you travel or whatever, that maybe you would have never thought to see because it, not only is it a global economy, but we live sort of in a world where that's possible too.
Yeah.
So what's the worst sales advice you've ever been given?
Oh, yeah. Well, the worst sales advice I've ever been given was to tell, was one of my first managers in Manhattan, and he said, listen, if they don't get it, you walk out. You just close the book. I'm like, oh my gosh. So in other words, to be like, it's now or never. And like, and there's literally, like, we had these portfolios that we were sharing information with, and to close the book with emphasis and on your heels, spin out of there. And it's just, it made me never want to go into that shop again. I mean, we were, you know, business to business sales, so I never wanted to go near that business. What if I saw that person, you know, getting coffee? Like, I was literally mortified. And I'm like, that was the beginning of me trying to find a better way.
Right. Because that was kind of the point. And I remember some of the ways that I've been pushed in various jobs that I've had to be more aggressive. And I've said to the, you know, it was always a man, by the way, trying to, I mean, the one manager was a woman who said I shouldn't have told the woman that the outfit looked bad on her. But I mean, when they're really pushing you to be more aggressive, you know, I just helped a friend who was selling in a holiday booth once, and he wanted me to start a spiel the minute anybody walked into the booth. And again, I kept telling him, like, I can tell if that's appropriate or not. Like, you get a feel from a person. Do they want to be talked to? I always said hello. You know, I smiled and said hello.
Absolutely.
And sometimes there were certain, and you know, he wanted certain things about the, and I might even throw out a little thing, but, like, he wanted you to go right up and start talking to them about it. And, I mean, I told him I didn't like it, and then I tried for a while. I once literally had a woman, when I walked over, put her hand in my face, you know, basically to say stop. And I knew she didn't want it, by the way, but I was trying to do what he said. And after that, that's when I said to him, I'm like, I'll do it my way and you do it your way, okay? Like,
right, exactly. Oh, my gosh, yeah, definitely. I've had experience with that, too.
yeah. And it's just like, and that's the other thing. Like, to be honest, the way my friend did it, he was authentic in it. And first of all, it was it was something that he made by hand. So there's a whole different feel of it coming from him anyway.
Totally.
And it's not even like, honestly, when he did it, it wasn't over-aggressive, but I wasn't authentic in doing it. Like, I don't
it's
think
different when you're the maker. And
Right, right. I don't think he was upsetting people or pissing them off as often as I was if I went off with the spiel when it wasn't appropriate.
No, totally. I actually had a client that ran a farmer's market, and I would help guide the market people, and it was so different. One of the first questions I would ask before I could advise them on their sales process is, are you the maker? And if you're not the maker, then we're going to go one way, and if you are the maker, we can go a totally different way.
Right.
But it really is, it's all about connection. It totally is. I mean, and connecting with those people where they're at. Are they just looking, you know? So again, I want to make them feel comfortable looking and staying and coming back to the booth whenever they can.
Right, right.
Because a lot
of people weren't going to buy anything the first time they came in. They wanted to walk around to all the different things, see what was there, and then they were going to come back if they liked you.
You got it.
Yeah.
If they liked you. That's a key factor.
Right, and they have to like your product and you, because if you made them uncomfortable, it doesn't necessarily matter how much they liked your product. They're probably not coming back.
Exactly. True. And people ask me that all the time. I have this free Facebook group online. People are like, why do you have to – you don't even talk about sales. You don't even talk about business all the time. I'm like, right. It's like the hangout. It's like the virtual water cooler. You know, you work with these people in the office building, but at the water cooler, you can all hang out, talk about, you know, last night, talk about the movies you're watching, whatever you're binging on Netflix. And you just gain friendships, and then you're able to say, now what do you do again? And then the real conversation can start.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've noticed that you speak about there being three words that you should never say that are a killer for your sales. Are you willing to share those with my listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. There's probably a list of them, but like the three that I like to leave out is I'd love to, because usually what that precedes is I'd love to give you some advice that you don't want. I'd love to give you some unsolicited advice. So instead I'd say when you'd like to, or do you want to. Those are better replacements for I'd love to, and it's because for whatever reason it is ingrained in our female nature to say I'd love to tell you more about this, or I'd love to show you.
Wow, and I've got to tell you, I say that all the time.
I have to really work on it myself. It's ingrained in us. So to just try to, a subtle shift of those words would truly make the other person feel not as obligated to hear, but interested to hear
more. Because it's not about what I want, it's about what you want. When you'd like to talk about this, I have some, that's huge.
It leaves some space so that they don't have to talk to you only about that thing. But when they are ready, then who else would they possibly go to? You. They already know, like, and trust you.
Right. So that's number one. What are the other two?
Oh, the three. Well, that was the three. Like, the I'd love to.
Oh, I'd love to. Those are the three words. Gotcha. Oh, saying the three words. Right. Duh.
Right. I'd love to. Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. I mean, again, like, it's probably a bevy of them, but that is, like, the most common one that all of us seem to say for whatever reason, and it doesn't really move the conversation along. It doesn't make the person want to continue to listen necessarily, and it doesn't help. So if there's three words that can be taken out that are killing your sales, those would be the first three.
Wow. Incredible. Well, Renee, I'm going to take a brief second to say thank you to our sponsors for today, and we've learned why we should listen to you, and we've learned some of the things we shouldn't do, and then when we come back, I want to give our listeners some ideas of what they can do and ways that they can do better.
Awesome.
Hi, it's Dori DiCarlo, founder of Safety Bags, Inc., a line of clear bags and backpacks there to assist with safety issues in schools, offices, airports, different workplaces, public venues, and sports arenas. Both professional and college sports have now adopted a clear bag policy. Anything larger than the palm of your hand has to be clear. With that in mind, we've launched stadiumbags.com for the dedicated sports fan and more. We've been featured on GMA's Deals and Steals, on AsSeenOnTV.pro with Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, Worldwide Business with Kathy Ireland, InStyle TV, and more. Our clear mini backpack, mini messenger bag, and tote bag in four colors meet the size requirements for both pro and college sports. You can visit us at stadiumbags.com, and you'll see why we're the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
I gave my soldier his orders for the day. He hated them, but he marched off with the sunrise. He fought more battles than anyone could ever know. He lost some, but he knew he could win the war. His faith waned over time, but he continued to give it his best. Some days the battle excited him. Some days he'd scream and get physical with me before he got out the door. The mental and physical pain will stay with him for life. School can be tough for a 9-year-old.
This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you that bullying comes in many forms and can be directed at anyone, by anyone. At No Such Thing as a Bully, we are committed to making the world a better place by educating parents, teachers, co-workers, and maybe even you, to be aware of bully actions and victim responses. For more information on how to change the dynamics of difficult bullying situations, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
And we are back. This is Tracy Timmons on the Word of Mom Radio Network here with Renee Hribar. She is a sales professional and a coach, and we're having a really fascinating conversation about some of the ways to build businesses. So, Renee, now let's get into some of the good advice. How do women get over these mindset blocks and start to actually make friends online, build those relationships, and start to actually, you know, make sales?
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes back to what you said initially, is women are afraid to ask. And so the first thing that we like to shift around our mindset is knowing that when we do invite someone, so again, replacing ask with inviting someone to hear more about something, that has to be prefaced with questions. So as women, we're great at asking questions. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we
Absolutely.
Like to go back and forth. And yeah, I mean, I'm just going off my own local book club that I'm a part of. And I never read the book, by the way. I just come for the fun and the wine. But
That's
I'm that friend.
You know, I've been telling myself I need to do that because I love book clubs too, and I love to read, but I found the older I get, the more I have trouble focusing, especially if I haven't chosen the book myself. But I keep telling myself that you should just do it for the interaction, even if you haven't read the book.
I totally do. It's my friends know. They already know. They're like, Renee, we didn't even ask you what you thought. I'm always reading, but it's not always that book. So that's
right,
like, you
want to
hear
exactly.
about the book I am reading? They're like, well, no, that's not the point. Okay, let's just pass the one. Okay, you have some more Cabernet. So, but the mindset around it is inviting each other to things. So, questions. I always say, good salespeople have good pitches, right? In other words, if you're selling for yourself and you want to share it, you can say, it's this, and it does this, and it waxes, and it winds, and it dines, and it does it. That's one way, but it's not effective. The great salespeople, so if you want to be the best salesperson for your business, instead of good pitches, have great questions. And so those great questions, knowing that when I get into a conversation with somebody, even though I may, quote, unquote, call it a sales conversation, all I'm really doing, and this is where the mindset shift comes in, all I'm really doing is asking questions, deeply listening, and based on what they say, deciding, should I invite them to this? Let me just invite them and see if they want to hear more. And then I literally have a foundation saying, you know, Sally, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I, instead of, what you know what you should do, because nobody wants to hear that either, instead you say, Sally, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I feel like I have some possible options. Do you want to hear them? And they say yes. And then you're like, okay, great. Well, here's some possible options that I've come across. And you know, maybe there's 1, 2, 3, or 4 options. And that's where the mindset block can say, oh, all I'm doing is having a conversation. All I'm doing is asking questions. I can release the pressure. I can release the expectation. And when that is released, the mind can relax and truly do what it does best, which is have a community environment, a nurturing environment inside of that conversation or anywhere else you go that you may find potential clients and friends. So I don't have to choose. By the way, we treat people through this sales process, this softer side of sales, we don't have to choose, do I want them to be my friend or my client? It can be both, truly. And that opens the doors for a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, wow. And that is what I have found is the key too. You know, it's like if you're trying to convince someone to buy something, it's never necessarily going to end well. I mean, you could luck out and they could buy it and love it and be happy, but if it's not something that they actually want and actually need, it's ultimately going to put a bad taste in their mouth. And if what you're looking at as opposed to, quote, making a sale, unquote, is, you know, helping people to get what they want, then I think that's when you're more successful, because then they're actually happy. And like you said, even when you see them 6 months later at the grocery store, they still mm-hmm. like you.
Yes, exactly. They're not like, oh, I was guilted into buying that, or, oh, I bought it and never used it, or, oh, you know, goodness gracious, I got to run down this other aisle to avoid her because she might try to sell me something again.
Right.
It makes it a whole other, it just changes the whole energy around it. When we seek to ask questions first and then offer possible solutions that person, the buyer in this role, gets to choose. It's a slight shift, but it makes all the difference.
Exactly.
You know, and this is really for, I mean, if you think about who this would apply to, you know, if, like my parents are both in real estate. So, like, I grew up, and they know everybody. Because right. over 30, 40 years now, I mean, they've sold right. everybody a house at some point, you know. Somebody needed them. And so, but it's that genuineness. It's not like, hey, you should do this, or hey, this is what's happening, you need to do this. It's, hey, this is what is happening, let me ask you some questions and maybe I can give you my best advice.
Right. Let me see if I can figure out how to give you what's best for you as mm-hmm. you decide it, you know, not me telling you this is what you need to do. Exactly. Wow. So I know you mentioned that you have a three-step plan for success in life, love, and anything your heart desires, which that sounds very exciting to me. Again, can we get a little preview of an overview of what those three steps are?
Yes, yeah, so definitely. That's something that I do for sure, like in these, you know, in my keynote speeches. But like the basic is, you know, the magical unicorn of work-life balance. Like mm-hmm. it is pressure in and of itself. Just saying that out loud, there is mm-hmm. no such thing. It's more like integration, and every day something will be more important than the other because that's just life. So my three-step plan is simply to take the pressure off of yourself. Mm. All of us think that the other person, whether it's the other woman that we see at the grocery store, the woman in the salon chair next to us, the woman in the car next to us, the woman at the bus stop next to us as we're dropping off our kids, the woman in the news feed, God help us, Instagram. If I look at her, I think, she's got it all together. I am losing it. I am losing it the battle every day. So to give ourselves some grace, and to truly take the pressure off, because no one, I mean, and I've gotten to know a lot of people, no one, I'm sure you have too, Tracy, right? No one has it all together.
No, nobody no does. It's absolutely a myth. Anyone you think it is. And I tell people that all the time, because I'm a big fan personally of, you know, drawing back the curtain. There's nothing mm-hmm. hidden over here, you know? And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have no problem telling you that I'm faking it half the time. You know, faking it from a position of knowledge and understanding and expertise in certain ways. But every day there's things where, like, you don't necessarily know the answer, but you just have to figure it out and move forward, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, taking the pressure off is number one.
Yeah.
I mean, nowhere else in our life would do that. And then secondly, is that any day that we have air in our lungs, literally anything is possible. Literally anything is possible. If we have air in our lungs, anything is possible. So this number, step two is, you know, I don't have to think about what happened yesterday, or I don't have to think about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, I learned this when I got my teacher training. I took yoga teacher training too. I'm not a yoga teacher, but I did it for the depth of the experience. But the point is that anything is possible, to live in the present, right? Today is your present. Live in that present. Do not think about yesterday or or what can happen tomorrow. Because as long as we have air in our lungs, anything is possible. And oftentimes, we get too caught up. We get paralyzed. We think about doing something, and then we think about, if we do that thing, what are the next 100 steps? Like, we're all chess players, apparently. And we're all thinking about the next 100 moves. And when you think about, you know, step 79, all of a sudden, even though you still haven't taken step one, you're like, oh, I don't know. Too many variables. Instead, just take step one.
Right.
Take step one. Because if you have air in your lungs, anything is possible. And the third one is that fear is a liar. You know, fear is, you know, I've heard this many times throughout my sales career. I mean, for 20, 30 years, I've heard the same exact thing. Is, you know, false evidence appearing real. Fear is a liar. We all have fear. All of us. There isn't one person. My child who 100% believes that there is a monster who lives in his closet. To him, it is real. But it is false. It is a lie. There's no monster.
Right. There's
it's
no
not
monster.
Just.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And how many things that we are afraid of is exactly like a monster in the closet.
Exactly.
And yet, you know, we're it's easy for us to laugh at the child who thinks the monster's in the closet, and yet as adults, mm-hmm. we all still have monsters in our closet that we need to just forget about.
Right, we have to believe the reality, which is it's not real. In reality, there's nothing there. It's
right.
just our thoughts. It's just our, and if when that becomes an understanding, like this, it's like, bam, oh my God, I can have whatever I want. Holy moly, it's okay.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I can actually do this. And that's when the excitement comes and the true success, because we are happy with what we have and where we're at.
Renee, how do people find you if they want to learn more?
The best place is on my website. It's always growing and developing. There are tons of free resources there, and that is simply myname.com. So it's ReneeRebar.com. There's an H in there somewhere.
Yes, and I will go ahead and spell it out for you listeners. Of course, the links will, as always, be on the show description, on our blog post connected with the show, and at some of the social media posts that we give. But it's ReneeHRIBAR.com. And as I said, we'll make
yes.
sure those links are there. And the really great news is, again, for you, our fabulous listeners, not only do you have this great conversation with Renee, but she has written a blog post for us. So aside from the blog that I will write, sort of just recapping the show, we will be sharing, and it should already be up on our website, a blog post that Renee has done. So sort of an intro to what you can learn from her. And hopefully some of you will connect. And I want to make sure to throw out there, too, that, you know, I mentioned to you that I don't consider myself a salesperson, and I still to this day don't think I'm good at, and I wouldn't be interested in doing a typical quote-unquote sales job. And yet all of us,
right.
if we're in any way in business for ourselves, sales absolutely has to be a part of it. You know, and whether it's the fact that we have an actual product that we're actually trying to sell, or an actual service mm-hmm. that we're trying to sell, or whether it's just a matter of making ourselves a presence and putting ourselves mm-hmm. out there, to some mm-hmm. extent it's a part of what we're doing. And that's why I feel what you're offering is so valuable, and I really appreciate you sharing with us today.
Well, thank you. And I want to say, you know, especially women, mothers, we already sell every day. We sell our kids on bedtime, bath time,
right.
broccoli, getting out
no
the door
joke.
With your shoes and socks on. I mean, we're good.
Right, right. That's true. And if you can do that, you can do the rest of it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's truly, when I build these analogies and these sales processes with the women that I work with who are mothers, oh, it's they're like, wait, is that easy? Yeah, it is. You've already been doing it.
Oh, I love it.
Well, Renee, thank you so much for having me.
We're about out of time for today, but is there one last thing that you want to just make sure that the women listening today, or men, there's probably some men out there too, is there one thing that you want them to walk away with?
Yes, absolutely. Always treat people with kindness. And when you ask the questions, whatever those questions are that you know will help the person that you're speaking with come to their own conclusions, always do it with clarity. So if we're going to work on anything, it's always those questions with clarity. Kindness and clarity. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Renee. Make today a great day.
Tune in tomorrow for Mindful Healthy Habits when I will speak to Coach Margaret Paul, the founder of the Inner Bonding Self-Healing Program. She is also the author of Diet for Divine Connection. On behalf of myself and Dori DiCarlo, I would like to remind you to please be happy, be healthy, and most importantly, to be yourself. And we will close out today's show, as we so often do, with the great Smith Sisters bluegrass song, She Is You.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself. Yes, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong. Yes, she knows who she is. Has integrity. Woman strong and true. You know her by name. See, this woman is you. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Adds value and hope, has proved to be brave. See, it's never too late, never time to behave. Reaching for dreams, doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself, unleashed from her cage. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.